Hi, it's Dov again. We're up to Perek Hey in our exposition of the Sefer Yosha Divrei Emes. Yosha Divrei Emes wrote a kuntres in the back or in the middle of his Sefer called Derech Emes. And we're up to Perek Hey. If you wanted a little discussion on a little explanation of what the significance of Shogavim is, why it's specifically geared towards tikkun and teshuva of sexual transgressions in particular, and why it is this time of year between the beginning of Adar, well, basically from the beginning of Shmos, really, through the two Adars, it's always falls between in that 3 month period before Nisan, before the first of Nisan, which is a new year. The explanation for that is all in to the best of my ability, based on the Shalach HaKadosh and other Sfarim in the first shir of this recording set. Okay, Perek Hey, Vehine Harotze La'akor Avodah Zarah. If a person wants to get rid of Avodah Zarah, Tzarech L'Sharesh Achareha, Gemara Avodah Zarah Mem Hey. It's not easy to uproot Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah back in the day, before Chazal removed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, there was a tremendous desire for Avodah Zarah. It was a spiritual desire, very much like sex is, clearly not just a physical desire, but a spiritual desire as well. Look at all the emotions connected to sex. Food doesn't have deep emotions connected to it. Sex almost always does. Now, if it's purely porn alone, and masturbation, you know, then that's one thing. But sex, the way Chazal HaKadoshim treats sex, is 90% of the time it's about relationships with other people. Masturbation is not discussed very much in Chazal, except in terms of the sin involved, in terms of the desire of sexual transgressions. If you look at the list in the Torah of sexual transgressions, masturbation isn't even mentioned as an isser in the Torah anywhere. The only place where it's mentioned in passing, which long before Matan Torah, was in the story of Yehuda's two sons, Aaron Onan, where it doesn't say anything about, there's no commandment anywhere, later, before, or after, anywhere, not to do that. So clearly, however, if you look in the Torah at sexual transgressions, they're all sex with your mother-in-law, with your daughter-in-law, with your sister, with your brother, with your uncle, with your him, with your them, and it's all about sex with people. That's the Torah's. And Chazal, if you look in Chazal, at temptation, where the Yetzirah tempted, there's this famous story in the end of Kiddushin, I think it is, where the Tanoim were tempted sexually. None of them were tempted by porn or masturbation. They were all tempted with sexual relationships with other people. So that's the general gist of Chazal. Almost every place where you look at sexual transgressions, almost always it's in the Rishonim, and certainly before the Rishonim in the Gemara and in the earlier, there's, you know, it's almost always regarding sex with another person. There are a few references to masturbation in Gemara Nidah. There's a couple of other places here and there, but it's very rare. Really, if you look at the volume of material through Chazal and through the Rishonim, you'll find, and in the Torah, and Tanakh, I mean, you'll find very, even the Midrash, you'll find very little on Zera Levatala. Yes, you'll find some references, and you can dig up maybe 10, 20. That's about it. But you'll find thousands of references, many thousands of references regarding the Avera of sexual immorality, and 99% of those references are about sexual intercourse with another person. So, this is what Chazal, and when sexuality involves another person, there's always a connection aspect. It's not just a physical taiva aspect. There's usually a whole romance, a whole structure built around it that envelops the human being's emotions. And the Rambam actually refers to this, where he famously says that Avas Hashem, Baba So Tishget Tamid, he brings an example of the way that you are, when you fall in love with a woman. This is his Lashonis. When a man is loving a woman, he can't stop thinking about her, and he just thinks about her all the time. That infatuation, that obsession, that's what the tzaddikim, even down to Rabbi Victor Miller, was the last one that I've heard, who would speak about it very explicitly and clearly. This love of Hashem, it's a love affair. It's an obsession. It's an infatuation, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it involves all the emotions like an infatuation and an obsession that a guy will have for his woman friend, for his wife, if he's in love with her, I'm saying. Usually marriage blows all this out of the water, and people are saying, what? What? We don't do that. The last time we see that love came first before marriage, clearly, is by Yaakov Avinu for Rachel. We see that very, very clearly, that he loved her first, and then he, wanted to marry her, and then he married her, By Yitzchak, we see it kind of in the opposite order. He took her into his tent, and he loved her after. And that's the example that all the dating people and all the marriage people and all the, all of our Torah-based, Aderech HaKodesh Sforim on marriage, we all point to that episode with Yitzchak and Rivka. But, what about Yaakov and Rachel? What's the inyan there? What's going on over there? So we say, because he saw that Rachel was Taka the Malchus, of actually his fulfillment, which is Malchus, is the fulfillment of the plan. That's why Klal Yisrael is supposed to keep the Torah. We're supposed to be the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Melech Belo'am. We're supposed to be fulfilling his plan. That's the idea of malchus, purely, is the fulfilling of the plan. That's the idea that the king's power is a king ein nigar mei klum. He's not wealthy. His wealth is the people's wealth. It's the treasure. It's the castle. It's not a personal thing. It's the office. He really doesn't have anything. What does he have? Power of speech. Peh. Malchus Peh. He has the power to decree things. And that's a king's only real power. Because it's about fulfilling. Amar v'haya ha'olam. Baruch sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. That's the zivug. That's the zivug. Baruch sha'amar. He commanded it. V'haya ha'olam. And Itakaf was that way. That's the natural way. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his full, as he is, Bat Muso, is, he's Amar Vahaya, There's no separation. It's automatic. He is Be'etzem, Adon Olam Hashem Melech, B'terem Kol Yitzin, V'la Isna Asa, B'chetzo Kol Azay Melech Shemo Nikra. He was called a king. V'achari Kiklos HaKol, but really, even after everything is gone, V'achari Kiklos HaKol, L'vado Yimloch Nora. He's the Melech anyway. Without a nation, he's the Melech. Because Be'etzem, he is the Baruch Sha'omer V'Hayah Olam. It's all the same. So this is what, this ties back to the point I'm trying to make, because that's what male and female really are all about. The Rambam brings that the main descriptor of an Isha in a marriage, not an Isha as an individual, Isha as an individual is really just like an Ish. Her avoda is, if she's alone, you know, the woman who's you know, a woman who's alone and she's a panuya, she's off you know, traveling for whatever purpose, you know, business, or she has to go somewhere or whatever it is. She's alone, she has to light Hanukkah candles with a bracha herself. She's got her own house. She's mechuyev in everything just like an ish in general. And then there are halachas for mitzvah seseh shazman grama where the woman is not chayeves, why, and all that stuff. You know, but when she's married, she doesn't do these things because she's, her avoda is subsumed to some degree in within the avoda of her couple, adam, which is an ish v'isha together. And the man does the outside. He is seen. He is shown. That's zachar. He does what's shown, what you can see. She is the inside, the melech panima. The malchus is an inside thing. It's a power inside. So this is about relationships. The taiva of sex that the Torah and Chazal are mostly focused on is the taiva of sex in a relationship, where you see a woman. The Rambam says Isha is, I was in the middle of saying this, the Rambam says clearly that an Ish, regarding his wife, it's that he sees her, that she's like kegufo, so he's mechabada yoser megufo, ohava kegufo, or mechabada yoser megufo. It's from Gemara in Yevamos, I think. Ohava kegufo, he loves her like his own self, like it says, Rabbi Akiva teaches, ve'ahavta l'rei acha kamocha, means either the Rabbanu Shalom or your wife. Ohava kegufo, he loves her like himself. Umechabda, and he honors her, yoser megufo, even more than he honors himself. He puts her first in terms of kavod. What does that mean? Okay, that's a whole other discussion. And for the isha, for the wife, he says, it's osa ritzon baila, that she does the will of her husband, because she's a symbol of Klal Yisrael, right? That's what it is. Eishes Chayil Niimtza is a symbol of Shechina Kedosha, which is called Knesset Yisrael. That's us. And we're supposed to be an embodiment of the Shechina. That's why Shechinta Begalusa, because we're in Galus. That's what it is. So we're supposed to be osa ritzon baila. The whole tikkun comes when we do his will. He's baruch she'amar, and there's a separation. We're v'haya ha'olam. We're the ones that are making it happen. He's the one that says what to do in the Torah, b'shevichsav, and we're the ones that explain how to do it, and we actually fulfill it and do it in the Torah Shabbat Peh. You know? So that's the relationship. That's a love. That's a give and a take. That's Zohar Nekeva. That's a connection. All that stuff gets hijacked in sex. All that whole relationship gets hijacked in sex, which is why the Rambam refers to this relationship and compares it to love of a woman. This is the relationship of a man, of a woman with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Be'ahavasotish Getanid. That it's, I'm crazy with love for the Rabboni Shalom. It's full of emotion. It takes my heart. My body is even feeding into these emotions. I want to do the mitzvah. I want to do the mitzvah. I want to go to shul. I want to go. I want to do these things. You know, we feel tremendous emotion in the mitzvahs if we're doing them right. That's what the Zohar Kodesh says, that a mitzvah that doesn't have with it ahava v'yira, which are emotions, not intellect. That's emotions. It doesn't have wings. So that's just the idea here that he's referring to. It's not just destroy Avodah Zarah. We see from the Maisa with the king Yoshia, I think it was, that he was ended up killed because he didn't know about the Avodah Zarah behind the door. You know, there's roots that you need to uproot and pull out, and you have to do like nikur on, you know. You have to go digging it out and cutting through everything. It's painful surgery, getting rid of Avodah Zarah. Same thing with sex and lust, because it all the stuff I was saying until now was to explain how in the brain, in the mind of Chazal HaKadoshim, they don't consider sex, taiva, da-da-da, because of pornography. Pornography didn't really exist in the past the way that it does now, until the invention of the camera around 1830 or something like that. There was no, I mean, people made pictures, hieroglyphics and statues, but it's not like, there's no comparison to, not just in Kamus, but in Eichus as well to today. You have to be mashrish, you have to look after the roots and try to find the roots because it's very deep. It's not just, oh, I have a desire. You know, I like the way orgasm feels, so I want to masturbate. That's not how Chazal HaKadoshim see it. They see that sexual immorality involves emotion and the whole heart of a person, so therefore it's buried deep within the person, And therefore, just like Avodah Zarah, you have to be mashrish achareha. V'hine shoresh kol hamidus roz, or hatayvus, is hagaiva, ukshias oref, the kaas. These three things, gaiva, kashias oref, gaiva is arrogance, kashias oref is stubbornness. I want what I want when I want it. No, 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 I'm fighting. And kas, kas in Chazal's, in the Torah's Lashonos, doesn't just mean anger, really. It says, berov dvarim rov kas. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily anger. It means in real, true translation, kas also encompasses all like overexcitement about something, you know, getting angry, getting worked up and angry and getting carried away with things. That's berov dvarim rov kas. Doesn't just mean anger. These three things are the shorish of all the taivas and midas roes. U'bechlau zeh, harasachas haleid, the boiling of the heart, l'chol mine taivas and pituyim for any desire and temptations, behevle ha'olam with any of the nonsense of this world, she'hazeh, shehen mishorish ha'nochash, which are from the shorish, they come from, their root is the nochash, from Gan Eden, temptation. The foundation of the Torah and mitzvahs and the avodah of avodas Hashem came hamidus is all the midas, like it says. I've quoted this before in the sefer of Rabbi Chaim Vital Shaarei Kedusha, right in the beginning, second parak, end of the first parak, second parak. I think he talks about. I think the beginning of the second parak is about this, where he says, why doesn't the Torah Kedusha talk about working on the midos? Because it doesn't. Directly, what it does is it says that it tells us how important it is to do this and to do that and to do the other thing. Why doesn't talk about midos? So he says the Kshari Kedusha, Rabbi Chaim Vital, right, Talmid of the Arizal. He says because the midos, working on the midos and improving and growing in midos is the entire basis upon which Avodas Hashem and the Torah is built. It's built upon that foundation. So you don't mention something, you don't talk about something that's expected everything to be built on. That's what it's all about. That's the same exact logic of Rabbi Chaim Vital, is the logic of Rav Shamshon Yifarel Hirsch, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, where he asks a question, why, I think it's in the letters, in the famous letters, 17 letters or whatever it is, 12 letters, I forget, 21 letters. Anyway, the famous letters he wrote, which have been translated, and their art scroll changes the translation every few years when some of the things he said weren't exactly politically correct. And if you look at the early translations of the letters of Rav Shamshon Yifarel Hirsch, if you look at the first print, you'll see changes. Like it's been censored over and over and over. But anyway, I digress. Rabbi Hirsch uses the same exact logic to explain why Torah Shabbat Peh is not mentioned in directly, explicitly, and it's not discussed explicitly in Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav doesn't say anywhere clearly, I'm going to teach you an explanation of how to understand this, and it'll be a separate Torah Shebaal Peh that I'm going to pass along to the Chachamim, So make sure to pass that down from generation to generation, just like you have to keep passed down the Torah exactly as it's written without changing the letters. You know, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah clearly, and therefore, way back, you know, in the time of the Kuzari, he had to explain what's with the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he says a similar kind of thing, but not quite like Rav Hirsch says, but a similar kind of thing. He shows how the mitzvahs are based on it, but Rav Hirsch is the one that I think spells it out. It's from 1800. Rav Hirsch spells it out very clearly when he writes that this is the idea, that this is the reason that it's not mentioned, because it's everywhere. It's like you don't see air because it's everywhere. That's his logic. Since it's there all over, it doesn't need to be mentioned because that's the basis of everything. So whether you accept that or not is up to you, but that's what he says. Ki yisod ha-Torah mitzvos avodah hem amidas. Working on midas is the background on which the Torah is painted, so to speak. V'harotze be'emes. If a person truly wants la'akor avodah zarah, to uproot avodah zarah, and he's using avodah zarah as a symbol of taiva here, tzarech l'sharesh achar kol hamidas. He has to go after all the midos, not just faith, emuna. No. He has to go after selfishness. He has to go after, fears. He has to go after jealousy. He has to go after, he has to improve his midah of giving and his midah of savlanut, his midah of this and his midah of that. There is where you find the king. Ayin Shem. So he brings Lashon from the Zohar Kodesh that's based on Psukim in Malachim, where you have this episode of the Navi. Eliyahu, I think it was, not Elisha, I think it was Eliyahu, who ended up having a gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a nevuah, which, according to Arya Kaplan and others in Chazal, according to some people in Chazal, which Arya Kaplan and Zichron LeBracha brings, happened every time with every Navi whenever they had any nevuah. They went through these stages. Navi went through these stages of seeing maybe this tremendous ruach that was smashing mountains, that's where God is. It's all powerful. No, actually, he's not there. V'lo barash Hashem, and he heard thunder, and the world was, it's just tremendous noise. Boom, boom. No, I thought Hashem was there. No, he's not. And then Eish, tremendous fire, energy. Eish is energy. A tremendous energy and power. No, lo ba'esh Hashem. And then he heard a kol de mama daka, which literally, I think, means kol, a voice, which doesn't have to be with words, by the way. A shofar is also a kol. De mama, related to the word domain, silence, vayidom aharon. Aharon was silent, meaning very quiet. Kol de mama, a very quiet voice. Daka, thin, a very thin, quiet voice. Taman Ka'asiyash Naka. There's where the king is. Ayin Shem. Shizeh HaShorish Kolobot HaSegel LaHachniya Yitzreinu. This is the root of all. He uses the word root a lot of times here. This is the root of all of our work in subduing our Yetzer, our desire. Ubezeh Nichna Shorish Adin V'rachman Govrim. And through subduing our desire, which is, he's connecting to three things, ruach, ra'ash, and eish, and gaiva, kashyus, oref, and ka'as, those three things. Through subduing these three things, which is, if you look at it, ego, which is also three letters, that's a Latin word, and it's Freud. But anyway, it's three things, right? It causes din to be machnia. The shorish of din is machnia itself, and the rachamim is gover, and the rachamim is overpowers. What does that mean? The Gemara has a whole discussion in Hilchos Shabbos, Tata Agvar, and other places. Tata Agvar or Ila Agvar? Does the upper object have the power and subsume within it the lower object? For example, if you pour water, hot water into cold water on Shabbos, do we see it as the cold water sterilizing, like, you know, overpowering and neutralizing this cold water on the bottom, neutralizing the hot water that gets poured into it? That would be Tata Agvar. Or do we see the thing below being the Vato, or do we see the thing above that has the power being poured into the thing below as the thing that overpowers and is Nevato the thing below it? That would be Ila Agvar. So that's a halachic discussion regarding pouring hot water into cold water into hot water, different things, and, you know, all that stuff. It connects to the Leaf Tumah Tara, and it connects to other stuff. Ila Agvar, Tata Agvar. This has nothing to do necessarily with Shuva Ila and Shuva Tata. That's a complete coincidence that those words sound the same. It has nothing to do with it. And it has really nothing to do with Isarusa de la Ela and Isarusa de la Sata. It has nothing to do with it. It's coincidental that the words sound similar, but they don't mean the same. They're not talking about the same minion, so I implore you not to get confused with that. This is talking about when you have two people that appear to be equals, one's on top affecting the other, one's on the bottom accepting the other, which one really overpowers the other and is the focus really on? Which one's subsuming which? And over here, what he's saying is that when a person goes after their midos, which is the sefer, the beautiful sefer, Orchos Tzadikim, he clarifies over and over something that the Bali Musar clarified as well, that there's no such thing really as a bad mida. Even anger is needed in very, very small amounts, you know, and there might even be a place for some kind of gaiva. The Rambam says it's not. But there might even be a place for a very small thing. The Chazal famously said, Shmini Shibishminis of Gaiva, that's only for a Talmud Chacham, and the symbolism of the eighth of an eighth and all that. So, you know, if the question the Orchos Tzadikim points out is, in Midos, how much of each Mida a person is going to employ, not that they have or they don't have a Mida, and this is a bad Mida, work on it. There's no bad mida. It's a question of how you use these qualities. So it's the same thing over here. Shorish kol avadasenu lahachnia yitzreinu. We have to be machnia our own will as much as we can. How do you do that? Using your own will, of course. The only way to be machnia your will is by wanting to be machnia it, which is your will. So even in the hachna'ah of your own will, it requires sustained will, sustained desire, that this is how you wish to be, because of what Alcoholics Anonymous famously calls enlightened self-interest. You know, there's such a thing as enlightened self-interest. It's not about altruistic or not altruistic. It's about what's smart, what's the more intelligent way, the more useful way, what really works, you know, and using your own will to subdue your will to God's will is our job. And that's what causes din to be machnia itself, to be subsumed within rachamim. And rachamim is gover over din. This is the symbolism, by the way, in Avraham Avinu, who was a lover. He was a shoresh of human ahava. He was the one that built up the mida of ahava, of chesed. Among humans, among people, and passed that along, especially to all people, but he passed it along especially to his children, to the Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, this is a symbolism of Avraham Avinu taking Yitzchak, who was a symbol of the Shoresh of Din, Gevurah, like it says, Pachad Yitzchak, Hashem was known as fear to Yitzchak. That was his relationship. It was a relationship of pachad and din and gevura. Avraham Avinu takes Yitzchak, ties him up, meaning he takes gevura, ties up gevura, puts it down below him, goes over it with a knife to shecht it, and sacrifice gevura over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the idea of every Jewish man that puts on tefillin. Your right arm is your right hand is the hand you do the mitzvah of tefillin with. If you're right-handed, you don't do tefillin with your left. If you're right-handed, you do tefillin with your right because you're tying the left arm up using the tefillin. That's the idea of the chesed side. The right side is the chesed side. That's south, is the right, because we're facing east. That's the right hand is the chesed hand. And that right hand ties up the left hand, recalling the... Akedah. And we say, when we talk about the Akedah and we pray, we say, just like Avraham Avinu was gover over his own midos, and he tried to sacrifice his son to you, Hashem, because you told him to, even though he didn't want to, he was machnia, he subdued his will to do yours. So also, let it be that Yigolu Rachamecha al Midosecha. This is Na'igimanu B'chesed V'rachamim. Okay? This is what he's referring to. I'm just opening up a little deeper into it. The Iker Shihia came be'emes called Imamadaka. And the whole Iker now, he says, is if you want to use your own will to subdue your will to the Ribbono Shel Olam and bring Rachamim to surround Din and overtake Din, to bring more mercy into the world, more love and mercy and goodness into the world, light. What has to happen? The Iker Shiyya came be'emes, that it has to be honest. It has to be true. That's the Iker. That's the main thing. Kol d'mamadaka, a quiet, still voice. You don't get it by jumping on top of trucks. You don't get it by dancing and singing and shuffling in shul. Amen, hey, shmei rabo, mevorach. That's not how you get it. Sorry. Divrei chachamim benachas nishmoyim. My ikar shiyya came to MS called the mamadaka mechamas busha because of a simple shame. That who am I? I'm nothing but God's thought. I'm a thought of God. His covet, meaning him, fills the whole world. There's nothing else here but him. I'm not even here. V'lo l'ramos l'hashtosis atzmo. Not to fool himself and pretend that he's a big tzaddik. U'ba'od shehu malei gaiva v'derech ra u'fita hapuchos. Even though a person is still going to be filled with gaiva, derech ra, pita, hapuchas, a lying mouth that switches, I don't keep my word. Shezehu shorash hamidus roos hanal, lo beruach Hashem, lo berash Hashem, lo be'esh Hashem, ekev anava yiras Hashem, to have humility, to see my place, have humility and admit, you know, I ain't all that. You know, I'm just trying my best. Very humble way to look at things. Mishorish Knias Amida, Midas Anava, the only way to have Amida of Anava, which if we really are truly humble, not Lahashtosa Satsmo, not to put on tefillin and Rabbi Natam and stay late and make sure that I daven and learn a little bit after davening like Rishla HaKadosh and others bring, to learn a little bit with my talis and tefillin on and to be from the first 10 who come to shul and to make sure to keep Kol Yisrael and to make sure not to speak Lashon Hara, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do all these things to try to be good, 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 but then what do? I tell myself how good I am. No. That's not the way. That's not the way. It has to be humbly, to realize that I'm still full of stuff. The only way to really get anava is through separating from desire, befrat ligdor diburo, and to try one's best to protect his mouth, v'yigdor es atzmo mikol mini taiva, v'hein b'maisa, hein b'dibur, hein b'machshava, and protect himself from any taivas desires in action, deed, and speech, and thought. V'yasim kol magamosav, and rather to have all his intentions and motives, v'sach b'losav al zeh, and his attempts, his work on this, kedei lihiya sur meira, to be a person who doesn't do anything wrong, and to regret the past and leave it. Just leave it. Uladaiti al zeh kos v'sifrei kodesh. According to me, this is what they say in the Holy Sfarim. And look in Mishnas Chasidim from the Talmidei Arizal. Shiachkor ma shem yeshlo beklipa kanoda. Ma sham yeshlo beklipa kanoda. Ve'eich yuchal leida et zos. This is straight Kabbalah. I don't know why he does this, but that to look at the klipa, he's referring to the three things, esh, ruach, and rash, that he talked about before, I believe, and the three things was the three midas was gaiva, kas, and kashias oref, I think. Those three klipos that are kashin. That you can't really use. Yuchaleda ezos ach mishiyesh lamoch b'kadkado yedeya shoresh ta'avoso. A person should look and see what really motivates him in his desires. Ki al taiva achas kemo taivas ha'mishgol sovedim kama taivas arishas ashkarim. Because if he looks at his deeds, if a person looks at his actions, and he's really honest, but I recommend finding another person to be honest with, because self-honesty is not learned from thinking. Self-honesty is learned from sharing openly with another person. Writing all this stuff down and then sharing it all with another person who really understands what you're talking about. That's the way to do it. And it can be a therapist, it can be a Rebbe, but it should be somebody who really understands, not just the person who's a holy person, the person who understands these issues that you have yourself as well, and is doing better, not a person who's still doing it themselves. Because when we see one thing that motivates us, we start to understand a lot about ourselves. The same thing could be regarding mammon and kavod. And this is the only way a person is going to really start to work on it seriously. And when you face the thing that's motivating you the most, the whole house will begin to fall down. Look at Pekudei, page 263, Reish Samach Gimel, Amar Aleph, and he brings a place in Reishis Chachma. The point is to start to be honest. How does a person come to this level where they see what motivates them? It's from getting honest about their patterns of behavior. That's the core. Get honest about the patterns of your behavior by writing them down and then sharing them. After you're finished writing them down, share them with a safe person who understands. And the result of that will be that you yourself will start to understand the truth about yourself and what motivates you better than ever before. If you need help finding somebody who you can do that with, just email me at wequithiding@gmail.com, wequithiding@gmail.com, or ask someone else, whatever you want. Hatzlacha Rabbah.